Amen, amen, amen. God is good, right? That's right. Well, welcome to Christ Community Church. I'm glad you guys are here celebrating Easter Sunday with us. Go ahead and pause that, please. But it's a beautiful morning, right, to celebrate. I really feel God's presence, right? We could even just pray. After watching the Lord's Supper right there, that's the way it was. That's like Steven Spielberg right there. I loved it. The acting, top notch. Forget about those Oscar winners. Those people are fakers and posers. The real talent is here at Christ Community Church. Amen? But God is good. And so we're excited to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, right? Easter Sunday as well. And you guys know, whenever you come to, and I'm glad that you're here, number one, to spend this time with us, because it's important that we remember why we're doing what we're doing, right? I don't know if you guys know this, but if you kind of like some of the trends, whenever I prep for a message, I always kind of look at what are the trends? And so I don't know if you guys have heard this trend. Now it's called Easter maxing. Have you guys heard that? Easter maxing. It's most like influencers and TikTokers. They're going through and they're going through. I don't know. How many of you guys have been to Walmart lately or Costco? What do you normally see there? They have like these big old, the little cheap cheeps. What do you call those? The peeps. What do I call it? Cheap cheap? That's a different animal. The little peeps, the big jumbo ones. You see big, Easter bunnies. People are getting back into baskets now again. And what you're starting to see is that Easter is starting to become very commercial, right? It's all about the Easter bunny and the eggs and the basket and chocolate and candy, right? But they're forgetting the most important reason why we celebrate Easter is that we are celebrating Easter because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's very convenient that we leave that part out. Let's celebrate this, but let's leave out why we celebrate what we celebrate. Amen? And so we're here to proclaim the good news of who He is by getting into the Word and by sharing what we celebrate and why we believe what we believe. Today is the most important day, I'll be quite honest with you, in the entire year. Why? It's more important than Christmas. And believe me, I love me some Christmas. Okay? And it's more important than your birthday. Oh. Right, some of you guys don't like your birthday. So are you guys those, that type where it's your birthday, you don't tell nobody, it's a secret? Oh, I hate it. I hate people greeting me. I don't want to tell them. I tell people, here, I'll let you borrow this one. They say, happy birthday. How old are you? I'm 25. Yeah, I'll let you borrow that one. Actually, 30 was a better year for me. That was the year I got saved. So that's a new one. 25 could be your favorite. 30 was mine. But it's even more important, right, than your anniversary. It's more important than whatever you believe in. It's more important than Super Bowl, more important than World Series, or whatever you love. Today is the day where we celebrate because we know that Jesus Christ is risen, and He's resurrected, and He came to resurrect our dead lives, right? We were spiritually dead before Jesus came, amen? And so we get to celebrate the good news of what that is. And so we're gonna spend a lot of time in Scripture because, listen, there's power in God's Word. There's not power in my word. There's power in God's word. And so we're going to spend some time. We're going to read a lot of scripture. And thankfully, there's still burritos in the back. So I think somebody gave me permission to preach an hour and a half message, right? No? You're like, what? You're crazy, Pastor. I got to go to the Avocado Lake after this. people still go there? Remember back in the day? Man, people, you go to church on Saturday, huh? So you can go to Avocado Lake all day. Or Mooney's Grove, right? Or Roding Park. And then you had to be careful because then people start getting shot. You're like, after sun goes, you better get in your car, go home. Right? So anyway, let's get back to it. Get back in the car, Pastor. Let's go ahead and read Luke. We're going to be in Luke 24, you know? And so we're going to be Luke 24. And we're going to start in verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, if not, go ahead and follow along on the screen. And it says, on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothed that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners to be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. And Peter, however, went back. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen? Man, it's amazing. It's a great, Luke does a great job of giving us a lot, you know, and all the synoptic gospels will tell you it's important that you read, piece them all together. But we're reading here from Luke, and he's describing what's happening, that the women have arrived, right? They've gone early in the morning to prepare what? They're bringing, what are they bringing? Spices, right? Spices. And so, long story short, they were preparing for something. Now, they weren't expecting to see what? The rock or the stone moved out of the way. And they weren't expecting to find the empty tomb. In fact, so what we see here is a lot of times in our own lives, right? If we go back, and let's recap a little bit. Let's get into the car and let's just recap to what happened this last week for all of his followers and disciples and believers, right? On last Sunday, we talked about what? Palm Sunday. That people came in and they were throwing palms and they were throwing their jackets and they were saying, Hosanna, right? Holy is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, because they were ready for what? They were ready for a victory. And then, long story short, you get to, you know, Spy Wednesday, then Commandment Thursday, and you see the Passover, the Last Supper, just kind of demonstrated by the children for us. And then Friday, right? The crucifixion, the mock trial, right? The arrest, the insults, the scourging that he endured. And then having to carry the cross up to Golgotha, and he gets nailed and he dies, right? And so imagine how they're feeling. When you read it, you can see that you can see at the end, and I read it in Luke 22, when he died, that Jesus was even alone, right? People that were far off, the only people that actually were there were the guards, if you guys remember that. And so do you think that the disciples were having a great week? You guys remember there used to be a thing, The Best Week Ever, on VH1? I'm old, huh? You guys remember that? They're on VH1, what's that? There used to be a show, and the guy used to talk about, this person is having the best week ever. So the flip side of that is the disciples and the apostles were having the worst week ever, right? Because in fact, all of their hopes and their dreams, all the things that they've been preparing for, for three years they have been following Jesus. You guys remember that even they're walking along and they're fighting about who's going to sit at the right hand and the left hand when you come into your glory. Remember that? And now Jesus is on the cross. And Jesus has died. And he's in a tomb. And so what do you think that they were feeling? Right? They're feeling terrible. In fact, I'll tell you what, they were feeling hopeless. And so this is why the resurrection is the good news, guys. Because listen, in your life, you may not have been one of the disciples, but in your life, you've experienced very similar things to what the disciples have experienced. You had hopes and dreams and aspirations for what your life was going to be like, what your relationship was going to be like, when you were going to have your kids, what it was going to be when you got married, what it was going to be when you get... Does that sound familiar to anybody? You had hopes and dreams of how you thought your life was going to be, and then life had a different plan for you. And you might be in a room this big. You might be like one of the disciples that's walking in. You might be walking in before, right? You knew that there's a resurrection. You might be walking in sometimes feeling a little hopeless in the place where you are. Whether that's a health condition, a relationship issue, whatever it might be. We celebrate today because we have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have to recognize, right? What was happening at the time? The context matters, right? And so they knew, ultimately, they didn't know, sorry, we know ultimately what happened, but them, they didn't know. In fact, what happens after they go and tell the 11? What do you see Peter do right away? Does the text say, and they believed them right away? It didn't say that. What does it say? It says it sounded like nonsense to me. Because had anybody ever been resurrected from the dead? Okay, Lazarus aside, and then all the miracles. But okay, but Jesus had what? Had told them. What's important is what I really like about this passage of scripture is that the angels appear, and you guys know whenever there's an angel, what's the natural response? To be afraid. I don't know about you, but if you ever see a glowing man come down, I'll be like, I'll be honest with you. Somebody goes, not me, Pastor. I have faith in Jesus. No, every time it's recorded in the Bible, there is fear. Yeah. And so naturally they're afraid. But remember what the angel said. And it's amazing what the angel said, because it says, and I love this, it says, why? Look at it. He is not here, he is risen, right? Or why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. And this is the key point. It says, remember, he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again. And then verse 8 says, then they remembered his words. Then they remembered his words. Like I said earlier, some of you might have walked in today carrying disappointment, carrying confusion, carrying grief, and honestly, you're asking a lot of questions. And that's a normal thing to go through. That's a normal response. But here's my thing. Here's my ask of you. Don't just leave it there. You have to bring those things to the one who can resurrect them. You have to bring those things to the one who can give you answers. Listen, a lot of times we bring those type of issues and concerns to our friends, to our family, or we will Google it or chat GPT it nowadays, right? But here's the reality of it is that the problems that we have, and I mean the real problems, the problems of the soul, the problems of the heart, only Jesus has the answers for. Amen? Now, if that's you today, then there's good news because Jesus is resurrected. Amen? And in the same way that he resurrected that situation, he resurrected himself and he had victory over death, he gives us victory. You see, the women that were going along to see him and to bring the spices for the body of Jesus, they had hoped that things would have turned out a different way, right? In the past tense. And so what we remember, number one, is that he's alive is what we can take away from that text, right? Yeah, amen, he's alive. We wouldn't be reading this passage on Easter Sunday if we weren't covering it. But that the tomb is empty. And that, number one, the empty tomb tells us that Jesus is alive, but it also prompts us to remember God's promises. The empty tomb tells us that Jesus is alive, and it prompts us to remember his promises. Because you guys remember this time and time again, if you study the Gospels, Jesus tells them a lot. He tells them, I don't know how many times, and they still don't understand. He tells them that the Son of Man must be going turned over and be crucified and that he'd be right. You guys remember that? And they're like, so can I still sit with you at the right hand? Like, they don't get it, right? This is why sometimes, listen, I know when we look at ourselves and we don't feel like we're qualified, the disciples weren't qualified either. They're not. But they had been with Jesus, right? That's why they had power. And that's why they transformed the whole world through the message. And the funny thing is, the interesting thing is that you notice, right, when the angels show up, what do they say to the women? Say what? Remember. But they didn't tell them what? Well, sorry, he died. Or go follow somebody else, or go find a new truth. He tells them what Jesus had already promised. But in their grief, they had forgotten what? They had forgotten his promise. In their time of struggle, they had forgotten that Jesus had told them what was going to happen. In fact, has this ever happened to you guys? Where you maybe had to take a test, or somebody told you what was going to happen, and then you're like, yeah, I got it. Or they're giving you instructions on how to do something. Your kids do this all the time to you. My kids too. And you give them instruction on what to do, and then when they get down to do it, they're like, what do I got to do again? What did he say? Something about, I don't know, you know that Peanuts cartoon where the parents, when they talk, it's like, wah, 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 wah. That's probably real in the kids' ears, huh? It's like, didn't I just tell you step by step? They're like, what? And they're even looking at you, right? They're testing your pain. That's a test of the Lord. But sometimes you tell them and you forget exactly what happens, right? Listen, how many times had God promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you, right? That he's doing all things together, what, for your good, right? How many times has God told you that he loves you? How many times did he tell you that that you're worthy, that you're the apple of his eye? There's over 2,000 promises in the Bible. But when we're in the middle of the storm, in the middle of our grief, what happens to us? Forget. Because the grief and the pain and the anguish is a lot. So the first thing we have to do is remember. You remember. I couldn't help myself. There's some George Lopez fans in here. Because ultimately, when pressure hits, when life hits you, when reality sets in, we start to panic. And that's when we don't have to start running around and start Googling and searching and start calling all your friends and all that kind of stuff. No, you need to remember who you belong to. You belong to God. You are a child of God. You are loved. You are precious, right? And that God has you. And that God is omniscient. That he's omnipresent. That he controls the past, the present, and the future. And so God had already, what? When God has already spoken peace, he says that, what? I'm the prince of what? Peace, right? But sometimes don't we run around and we still live with anxiety? We're like so nervous about everything. I'll be honest with you. At 6 o'clock in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I start stressing out. If I got a project due, I'm not kidding. I start sweating as soon as I wake up. And that's why I had to start praying. Because I said, man, get behind me, stress and anxiety. Jesus, you got me. I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. And I start thanking Jesus for the littlest things in my life. If it's in the wintertime, I told you guys before, thank you for this warm blanket right here on my face. If the birds are singing outside, thank you, Jesus, that I'm like the male Snow White right now. Birds are singing to me. Isn't it good? Amen. The birds waking up singing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm serious. You guys think it's funny, but you go outside. I say, when you drive down the mountain that I reserved for my wife, the Stephanie Rodriguez Mountain on Franklin. Thank you, Jesus. Right? God is so good. And I come up that and I see the sun coming up. And the blossoms. It's beautiful. And we're so blessed, guys. And the more that you're thanking God, the less that you're worried about all the problems that you have. Jesus himself says, listen, you have a lot of problems. Right? Leave those for another. Today has enough worries of its own, right? Then he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything else that you're worried about is going to be added unto you, right? It's going to work itself out. Because how many times, time and time again, have we stressed out over this crazy thing only to find out that what? It never happened. It didn't materialize. 99% of the time, the things that we worry about don't actually turn out to be much. Amen? So don't forget that God has promises and he's spoken peace into your life already, but sometimes we want to still live in anxiety. That God has already promised his provision, like I said, Matthew 6:33, but we continue to live in fear. And God has already declared victory, but we walk around in defeat. Right? Man, not today. Right? Let's claim the victory in Jesus Christ. So the question that I have for you is, what has God already said in your life? Listen, you are walking your own shoes, right? I don't know what pain, I don't know what struggle you're going through. I don't know what challenge you're going through. But you have to ask yourself that question. What has God already said that maybe you've forgotten? Today's a good day to remember. Amen? Because God keeps his promises even when we forget. And so, after we remember, right, there's still something else. We still struggle. Because, listen, we're going to get back into the text now. Let's get back into the car, get back into Luke. And let's keep reading. 24, verse 13 to 35. I'm still good on time. It says on the road to Emmaus. Now the same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. How far? 7 miles. So you could translate and say, they were going from Orange Cove to Reedley. Emmaus to Jerusalem, that's 7 miles. Then they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up walking along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, and their faces were downcast. What does that mean? All sad. All, you guys know, like, let me see your downcast face. Yeah. These guys, thank you. Some of you guys didn't take. All sad. Aw. In Tagalog, it's all kawawa. Kawawa. When you're sad. Their face was downcast. Right? And one of them said, one of them named Cleopas asked him, he says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days? And I love this. What things? He asked. Jesus is awesome. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped, past tense, that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, how foolish you are, man. How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses, the prophets, he explained to them that what was concerning him, all the things concerning in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued that they were going further, but they urged him strongly to stay with us, for it is near evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table, he took the bread, and he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were open and recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, where are hearts not burning in us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures? Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who had assembled together, saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what had happened on the way and how they had checked. The two told what had happened along the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. All right, it's a lot of reading. I didn't have a burrito like you guys had, okay? So my sugar's low. The second thing from this passage of Scripture, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture, right? You guys know that there is a map because I am a nerd. It's on the screen. And Stephen's going to throw it. He's going to splash it on the screen. So they're walking from where? From Jerusalem to Emmaus. Somebody said Reedley. No. From Jerusalem to Emmaus. How far is it? 7 miles. That's right. And they're walking alongside and then somebody comes along. It was Jesus himself. But they were kept from seeing him. And I love Jesus. He's all, what are you talking about? What's going on? Why do you look all sad? What things? Right? And they came alongside. And one thing that we have to recognize is not enough just to remember, but you also have to what? Recognize Jesus in the middle of your storm, right? Recognize Jesus in the middle of your grief. And so we can recognize him, and we see that from this particular passage of Scripture. We could recognize Jesus by praying and opening the Scriptures, right? You can recognize him by being around the body of believers, by being, but the Holy Spirit showing up. I don't know about you guys, but when I first tried to read the Bible, I shared this with you guys before, I didn't recognize Jesus. I didn't see it. Why? Because I was reading like a textbook, like it was a Harry Potter book. And guess what? That's a decent book. J.K. Rowling is a good author. But the author of the Bible actually speaks to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? And so we need to be in the Word. They recognized him when they started to do what? And we're going to do that later. When did they recognize? They sat down and then he started to do what? Break the bread. You guys remember that? And so we have communion. We get to celebrate that. But also, when they opened what? The Scriptures. And Jesus starts to have, he starts to do what? See, sometimes we have problems and we have things going on in our life and grief and issues and things. And somebody will say, you know what? Why don't you come to this Bible study? Oh, I can't go to a Bible study. I got problems. I got bills to pay. I got this diagnosis. I got, my kids are crazy. They don't listen. My boss is even crazier. Hey, that sound like you? No? Some of you guys? Okay. And then somebody will say, well, why don't you come to Bible study? I don't got time for Bible study. I'm so busy. You don't understand. I got all these things to do. Sound familiar? There's a little bit of a guilt trip, right? You want to see Jesus in action? Oh, sorry. Yeah, come to Christ Community Church too. But open the Scriptures. Amen? Show up. Pray. You want to know where Jesus is at? Jesus is with the believers. And this is the other thing, man, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within you. Right? But we get distracted by the world and all the problems that start to drown us out. Jesus himself says, listen, all the problems of the world. You guys remember the parable of the soils? Sometimes that could be us. When you read it, when you read the parable of the soils, you're always the good soil, huh? Oh, my heart is, I got all kinds of miracle growth from Home Depot right here for Jesus and his word. That's how you read it. Not always, guys. Sometimes the word falls and it's like the birds of the air, right? The weeds come up. The weeds of life come and choke it out. You need to round up it, you know? That's like going to Bible. That's why you come here. A little bit of roundup. Get those weeds out of here. Let's focus on Jesus. Amen? And they asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us when he talked to us and he opened the Scriptures to us? Wouldn't that be awesome? To be in a Bible study with Jesus? Guess what happens every Tuesday? Every Monday when the women meet, when you go to coffee, when you get into the Scripture, because the Holy Spirit speaks to you, speaks life. You can get encouraged there. You have to remember, but then you have to recognize what God is doing, and then you deliver that to Jesus. Whatever problem you're going through, whatever grief, whatever heartache you're going through, you give it to God. And as you realize that you start to give it to God, you start to see that he was doing something all along. He was weaving your story for his glory, not your own. Because I would never say, like, some of the things that happened to me in my life, man, I wouldn't want those things. Man, we grew up, my brother knows this, our testimony, right? We were farm workers from the time I was 5 years old, picking grapes with my moral. I had a little baby moral picking grapes, you know, working my whole life, right? But here's the thing now, God made me for work, and when I work, I feel his pleasure. You might have a different upbringing. You might have a different story, right? You might have whatever God is doing. Listen, it's not for your own. It's not because God doesn't care. He doesn't see you. It's for his own glory, for your testimony, to share it, the good news about what he is, who he is, and what he's done. Amen? And so we have to recognize and remember who Jesus is in that situation and circumstance. Because sometimes the disappointment blinds us to God's presence. Has this ever happened to you? Or something bad will happen to you and you say, God, why did you allow that thing to happen to me? Why can't you just let that happen to the neighbor across the street, the one I hate, that one? Your coworker that drives me, why you got to put me through this storm? Why don't you just give it to somebody else? Make sense? Ever ask yourself that question? Why, God? Why? Why did you allow this to happen? I was doing good. I was doing the best that I could. I really wanted, I had hoped and I had dreamed that it was going to be this way. Has it ever happened to you? And we start turning, instead of worshipers, we start turning into philosophers. Why did this happen, God? Why did this thing? Why? Is there a song about that? Why? No? Tell me why. It ain't nothing but a heartache. Yeah, Backstreet Boys. Tell me why. It ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why. This might be the only church where a Backstreet Boys song made it into the Easter service. Because we do start asking ourselves why. But the question for us is, if we bring it to Jesus, this is like, no, God, what? What do you want? How can I glorify you? What now? How can I glorify you in this? I'm going to trust you in this thing. And most of us, as we start to get older, listen, I know. I was going to adjust for men this goatee right here this morning. Because when I tell you it's for my birthday, October 20th, you ask me, and you see all this white, you're like, you're not 25, Pastor. Maybe 55. I was going to adjust for men, but it's okay. This is wisdom. Okay. I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say, the longer that I walk with Jesus, the more that I know that the storms and the trials that he gets me through are for his glory. Right? Whatever doesn't break makes me better for Jesus. And you know what? The more I read this Bible, and like Paul says, man, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. I'm good. Let's go, Jesus. Right? So we can recognize Jesus by praying and opening the scriptures, because in fact, that's what he sees that happened to the two disciples. Let's go ahead and I'm going to read a passage of scripture just here from 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 and 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 22. And this is Paul writing. He says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes us and you stand firm in Christ. Let me say that again. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. It's not in your own strength. God already goes ahead and does it for you. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. And he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. If you guys remember this, 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, right? And he was telling them that he was really trying to go back because he really wanted to go back, but he couldn't. And so he goes on to say that his yes is yes and his no is no. You guys remember that portion? Of course you do, because you're the smartest and most beautiful church in all of Sanger, California. You remember. But what Paul is saying is, no matter how many promises he has made, listen, all the promises of God in this Bible, they are yes in Jesus Christ. Make sense? Sometimes we forget. That's why Jesus himself says, didn't I tell you that the Messiah would have to come and that he would have to endure these things and be crucified before he come into his glory? Because he said that, yeah? So he's going back to, again, remembering the promises. And Paul says it again. All the promises, every one of them, find their yes in Christ. And through him, we all, this is your promise to you, we should be shouting amen. Right? And so I'm going to do this, right? Because this is to the glory of God. It's not to your own goodness. I know you're fabulous and you're awesome, but only because God says it. Amen? Don't walk out of here with a big head and like, oh, I'm so awesome. Pastor said I'm awesome. I'm fabulous. No, it's only for God's glory. Amen? So here, let me read this for you guys. And when I'm done, I want you guys to say amen. Because some of the favorite promises that God gives us here are listed right now in this Bible, in this sermon. Number one, the redemption from sin. Amen. In who? In Jesus Christ. The reconciliation with the Father. Amen, right? You couldn't work your own way. Your work and all the things that you do, you couldn't earn your way back into heaven. That makes sense? We need a reconciliation to the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen? Peace and rest. Amen. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. Not through going to Pismo. I'm tired. I need some peace and rest. Let me go to Pismo. You come home, you're more tired. You had to pack all that stuff, take the trailer, all that kind of stuff. You're self-familiar? You're like, I wanted peace and rest, but I'm exhausted now. Pismo Beach, that's right. Rest, peace and rest. And what I'm talking about is, man, the real peace that we all need, the peace of the soul, peace of mind in Jesus Christ. Amen? Who needs healing and wholeness in here? Amen. Right through Jesus Christ. I'm healed and I'm made whole through Him. But in my relationship with Him, that I can have an eternal home. Amen? That's a promise that only Jesus gives us. Man, for His constant presence. Amen? How many times you walk around like you're feeling like you're alone, like you're defeated, like nobody sees you? Right? Jesus is with you. Amen? Here's the other thing. How about for the friendship that we have in Jesus? He says, I no longer call you what? I call you my friend. I know you call you servants. I call you my friend. What a friend that I have in Jesus. Jesus is like my BFF. Forever. Forever. And here's the last one. That we get to have what? Life from death. Amen. Man, that's all Jesus, guys. That's all Jesus. But here's the other thing, right? It's not enough to remember. It's not enough to recognize. Here's the thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to respond. He's not going to do it for you. Didn't you just say that God called? Yeah, He does. But you have to say yes. You have to be obedient. Does that make sense? I'm going to read, and I'm going to fast forward some of this because it's a lot, and I know we're running out of time. But in 1 Corinthians, and it's going to be chapter 15, I'm going to read a little bit, beginning in 12. It says, but if Christ is preached and has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God and what He has raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him, in fact. But He did not raise Him in the fact of the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. Paul says it twice. It's important that you recognize it, that Jesus is resurrected. Continues in 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, who have fallen asleep with Christ are lost. If only this life we have lived hope, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we, of all most people, are to be pitied. But, here's the kicker, he says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen? Listen, every one of us has to respond. There's a question about who Jesus Christ is. Either He is who He says that He is, or He's not. And if He's not resurrected, like Paul says, we are the biggest fools. We're to be pitied. Right? And you're like, wow, that went a different direction. But what Paul tells us is, listen, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He is indeed alive. And you know why? Because of the testimonies that are in this room. Right? I didn't get to witness it. I wish I would have been there. I would have been like Peter. I've been running fast. Or maybe my dad would have said I would have come in second to last place. You had to have been here a month ago for that one. Peter probably would have beat me. John probably would have beat me too. But I see lives transformed through Jesus Christ. I'm standing in front of you as a sinner that's forgiven, that's been redeemed because of what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection on Sunday. And so if that's you and you have questions about who it is, don't harden your heart. Ask the probing question. Jesus is who He says that He is. He is the resurrected Messiah. Right? And so number three, the resurrection of Jesus Christ demands all of us to respond. The resurrection of Jesus Christ demands all of us to respond. And the question I have for you today is then, how are you going to respond? Is He Lord of your life? If He's not, will you make Him the Lord? You're going to have to answer that question. Right? And I'm telling you this, 100% of us in here, we're going to die and we're going to be before the seat, before the throne. We're going to have to answer that question. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Or we just kind of, we knew about him, but we didn't make him Lord. And so the other thing that we're looking at today is we're going to have communion in a little bit. So I'm going to transition a little bit into communion. Because ultimately, right, listen, for all of us, we have to respond. It means something. You guys have been to, how many, I know if you're, the longer you are with the Lord, the more that you come to church and you're like, oh, I know this story already. I've read this passage. Right? You have to answer the question. The word doesn't lose its power just because you read it one time. It doesn't. Jesus is asking us what? To remember, to recognize, and to respond. And in the same way that even as we start to break bread and we go into communion, and the same way that they're what? Their hearts were set ablaze. Each one of us, right? Isn't that should be the desire of our heart? Man, said Jesus, set this soul on fire. Set this heart on fire for you. Amen? So the two disciples on the road to Emmaus recognized him in the breaking of bread. And so we're going to come do the same. You guys remember in the upper room, Jesus gave a command and this ordinance of communion to remember his death, his broken body, his blood spilled for the forgiveness of our sins. That as, you know, it wasn't by chance that the whole community of Israel, the people, were celebrating Passover. That they had sacrificed a blameless lamb for the forgiveness of their sins. You guys remember that? And it wasn't that Jesus himself was being ready to sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so that's what we celebrate when we take communion. But before we do that, we're going to start praying. And it's going to be my prayer number one. You guys need to pray this as well. That our eyes would be opened. And if there's family, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, cousins, co-workers that don't know who Jesus is, then our prayer needs to be that their eyes would be opened too. Secondly, then, maybe we're in this room. I've known Jesus for a long time, but maybe I haven't kind of been following the way maybe I kind of strayed away a little bit. And so the second prayer that we need to pray together is that Jesus would set our hearts on fire again. That number one, that we know him, but our hearts are, you know, we don't want our hearts to be cold. So we want to say, Jesus, reignite my faith today. So if you're able to stand, stand. If you don't, you can stay sitting. I'm going to start praying. And those are going to be our two main focuses of prayer this morning. That Jesus would open the eyes of the unbelievers around us. And then for the believers, that we would set ablaze our hearts for Jesus Christ. Beginning today. Father God, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy over us, Lord God. You are such an awesome God. I thank you that you are risen, that you are alive, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. You are an awesome God. Lord Jesus, I don't know how you endured the pain and the shame and the suffering at the cross, but you did it because you love us. You did it because you were obedient to the Father's will. So Lord God, this morning, it's our prayer number one, that you would open up the eyes of our family members, of our co-workers, of our communities. They don't know who you are. They have not seen you for who you are. Would you be revealed to them, Lord God, by a testimony, by the power of the word, Lord God? Would somebody speak life to them, Lord, and the Holy Spirit, that you would go ahead of, Lord God, and that you would start to speak and start to soften that heart, Lord God. Lord, we rebuke the attacks of the enemy, Lord God, the lies and that sometimes our family members, or sometimes that even ourselves, we believe, Lord God, that you are or not who you say that you are. Open the eyes, Lord God. Help people to see who you are. Help us to share the good news of who you are. And there's somebody in here today that wants to open up their eyes. It's very simple. All we have to do is say, yes, Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross and that you resurrected on the third day and that you died for the forgiveness of my sins. So, Father God, help me to walk, Lord Jesus. Help me to be a disciple, Lord. Help me to follow you from this point on, because I'm sick and tired. Help me to turn away from my sin and help me to live from this day forward. Give us eyes, Lord God, to see you, to recognize you, and to surrender our lives to you. And Lord, the second half of that prayer, Lord, this morning, some of us have been walking, Lord God, and kind of just going through the motions, Lord. We know about you, we've trusted you, but maybe we haven't been following closely. Lord, set us ablaze right now, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to do the work that you called us to do, to seek you out with all of our hearts. To stop making excuses about how busy we are. That's not going to be a good excuse when we go to see you, Lord God, that you would be, Lord, we just want to make you the Lord of our lives. Set us ablaze again for you. Help us to make a difference in the kingdom, Lord God. In our families, Lord God, in our homes, in our places of work. Set us ablaze again, Lord God. So, Father God, forgive us for our disobedience. Forgive us for straying away. And, Lord, bring us back to you, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit in your word. Thank you again. Restore us, Lord God. Thank you again for giving us the opportunity, Lord God, just to be known by you, to know you. And, Lord, thank you again for your goodness in your death and your resurrection, Lord. Father God, as we come before you again and we get ready to break bread, your word tells us that we need to examine our hearts. Because 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in the Lord in a manner that is unworthy will be committing sin and is guilty against the body of the blood and the blood of the Lord. So everyone should examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. Because those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ drink judgment upon themselves. Father God, forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Lord, forgive us for the sins that we commit. Forgive us for our disobedience, Lord God. And Lord, we want to be right with you, Lord God. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. So Lord God, as we're praying, Lord God, will you forgive us? And Lord, as everybody's praying individually, Lord, you know the hearts of the people here, Lord God. Will you listen to their petitions, Lord God? Will you listen to my petition? There's power, Lord God, in people praying, Lord God, in surrendering, in submitting, Lord, bringing their sins before the cross and saying, I need to be forgiven, Lord God. I need to be made right. I want to be whole. And so, Lord God, will you do that right now? You are faithful to forgive, Lord God. You are merciful and kind. Will you listen to the petitions in the hearts of your people? Lord Jesus, thank you again for your goodness and your kindness to us, Lord God. And you minister to our hearts, Lord God, and to prepare us, Lord God, as we get ready to take and receive of the bread and also the cup, Lord. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you again for giving us the ordinance of communion, Lord God. And as we celebrate communion today, Lord, we don't just remember the cross, Lord God. We recognize that you are the risen Messiah, that you are the risen Christ. So continue to be with us, Lord God, and thank you again for the opportunity and the blessing that it is to be able to be in communion with you. We can taste, that we can see, that we can feel, Lord God, with all of our presence, with all of our being, Lord God, that you are God and you are good. The Lord Jesus, on the day he was betrayed, he took the bread. We had given thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Lord, that you are risen, that you are God, that you are good, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to commune with us, Lord God. Thank you that we can be reconciled to the Father through faith in you, Lord God. That we can be filled through the Holy Spirit to do the work that you've called us to do. But more than anything, that you just want relationship, Lord God. You want to have intimacy with us, Lord God. That you are the restorer of our souls. Help us, Lord, to cast out any of the busyness and the things of life that are distracting us, that we can be focused on you, Lord God, and the calling that you have on each one of us. Will you continue to bless our families, Lord God. Our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, Lord, wherever we go, that they would be, your holiness would follow, Lord God, not because of us, but because of your goodness and who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again. We celebrate today that the tomb is empty and that, Savior, that you are alive and that our eyes are open and that our hearts are burning again for you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.